41, Genesis chapter number 41 this evening, and you'll recall from Genesis chapter number 40 that God provided for us the record of the interaction between Joseph, the butler, and the baker. And you'll remember that the butler and baker, they were imprisoned because they offended their lord, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and their offense is not recorded for us, but we know that they were placed in prison, the place where Joseph was bound, and through those events and circumstances, God allowed for Joseph, the butler, and baker to meet. We understand they had dreams, each of them, and the same night their countenance was sad, for there was no one to interpret their dreams, and Joseph says interpretations belong to the Lord, and he interpreted the dreams, and the scriptures tell us that as the dreams were interpreted, that Joseph first spoke with the butler and interpreted that dream, and then told him to think on me in verse 14, when it shall be well with thee. And Joseph was assured of the interpretation that was provided and knew that the butler would be restored to his butlership as he had interpreted to him. Of course, the baker, after hearing such a good interpretation of the dream, decided that he'd also let Joseph know about his dream. And unfortunately for him, yes, it was 3 days, but he would meet a death in 3 days. He would not be restored to his position. And so we find that the Bible tells us at the end of verse number of chapter number 40 and verse number 23, notice what the Bible says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." I wonder this evening, do you ever feel like someone's forgotten you? And there's a lot of people in our world that feel lonely. In fact, if you were to look at some things on the internet and look at some statistics and what have you, and not that I'm a huge fan of looking at all of those things, but there is, in our society today, quite a serious situation with loneliness. And people feel forgotten, they feel lonely. And I find Joseph, the Bible tells us that he was forgotten by the butler. Now you think about it, Joseph was there in prison, he was serving, he was being faithful. We understand that he kept his focus where it had to be. God was using him. And then as we enter into the 41st chapter, the chapter in which we'll study this this evening, we find that the Bible begins by providing us with some timeline to what's going on. It says in verse 1 of chapter 41, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." Now, we were talking this evening. There's a group of us that were here early this evening before the service, just chit-chatting here. And we're talking about the older you get, the faster time seems to pass by. And many of you can testify to that. And you seem like, someone said this, it seemed like all year you would wait for Christmas. And you're just so anxious as a young person waiting for Christmas. And now it just seems like it's Christmas again. And the cycle just seems to go so quickly. But the reality is that 2 years is really a long time. And Joseph is there in prison. He knows that the butler's been restored to his place. We know that the butler and the baker, 3 days after the interpretation, they were both removed from prison. The one restored, the one had his life taken from him, according to what we read here in this chapter, in chapter number 40. But we find that Joseph, and the Bible doesn't give us a record as to all that took place during those 2 years. But I just wonder this evening, as you and I can just consider life and consider what we've dealt with, can you imagine being in a place for 2 years, and we don't know how long he was there before he had this interaction with the butler and the baker, but for 2 years after that interaction, you are in prison, falsely accused, you're in that place, and though Joseph was forgotten by the butler, as we see in our text of Scripture, I would like to submit to you this evening, just as we're looking at the introduction here, that he was not forgotten by God. God always knows where we are. He always knows what's going on. And I would tell you this evening, God has a plan. See, sometimes we don't know what God's plan is. You ever feel that? You ever found, I'm in that place. I just don't know what God is doing. I don't know what God is doing in this season in my life and what's the situation here. But we can rest assured at knowing that God has a plan and that God has not forgotten us. He said he would never forsake us. And we understand this evening that he knows us. He knows who we are. He knows the very hairs on our head, the number of the hairs on our head. And he knows everything everything about us. And though Joseph was forgotten by the butler, as we look and we understand the entirety of the account that God gives us of the life of Joseph, we're confident that God had Joseph exactly where he was supposed to be at that time. You know, there are times in your life and in my life that God might have us in a place because there's some preparation that we need. There's something that we need to learn. There's some process that we need to go through. Oftentimes when I talk to missionaries and they're talking about their deputation, and some unfortunately have a negative perspective with regard to deputation, that they have to travel so many miles and all of this to raise their support. But others, and I would say the majority of the missionaries that I speak to, they have this perspective of deputation that during that season, listen, God can raise the support as quickly as he wants to. He's able to do that, but God has some lessons. He has some preparation, some things that I'm supposed to learn during this season. And there are times in your life and in my life that God is training us, he's preparing us for what the future might hold, what his plan is for us. The problem sometimes is during that quote-unquote waiting time, sometimes we get ahead of God. Sometimes we make poor decisions during that time, and then the plan never really comes to pass because we have gotten outside of what God desired for us to do. This evening, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to draw your attention to verse number 10, give you the title, we'll dig in. The Bible says in verse number 14, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." The title for the message this evening right there from verse number 14, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. If you're taking notes this evening, I want to share with you just three thoughts from this portion of Scripture. Verses 1 through 8, number 1 this evening, an uncertain situation. An uncertain situation. The Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow." Sounds pretty peaceful. Sounds pretty positive. We find in verse number 3, it says, "And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river." The Bible tells us in verse number 4 that the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. And then it says, "So Pharaoh awoke." It's more like a nightmare than a dream, right? And he sees what's taking place. He's had this dream, and he awakes from this dream. And the Bible says that he slept again in verse number 5, and he dreamed the second time. Now this next dream, the Bible says that there were 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good, and behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the Bible tells us in verse number 7 that the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And no doubt as we look at these first 7 verses and we see these 2 dreams that Pharaoh had in this one night, it provides for us this uncertain situation. Verse 8 gives us great insight to what's taking place, but we find that that first dream, as recorded in verses 1 through 4, the 7 is repeated in both dreams, and we see there in the first dream that there were 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. And then the Bible tells us that there were 7 that were other, that were ill-favored and lean-fleshed. And then the truth of the second dream is that there were 7 ears that came up, according to verse number 1, that on one stalk, rank and good, followed by the 7 thin ears that were blasted with the east wind, and they sprung up after them. And the Bible tells us that he awoke after the first dream, he awoke after the second dream, and then in verse number 8, the Bible fast forwards to the morning. Now, I don't know about you if you ever had a dream, you ever dream, and you think about, man, I can't remember the dream that I had and what have you. Well, Pharaoh remembered these dreams, and we understand that God has given us the complete canon of Scripture, and God is not communicating to you and I today through dreams and visions, but we find that in this particular time of human history that God was communicating to Pharaoh through these dreams. And we find that it would be interpreted by Joseph. But notice in the morning, Pharaoh remembers the dreams. The Bible says in verse number 8 that his spirit was troubled. This uncertain situation led to an unsettled leader. He's the leader of Egypt. Think about the power that Pharaoh has. You think about even in chapter number 40, with the butler and the baker, they offended the Pharaoh. He has them cast into prison. One then is restored to his butlership, but the baker is put to death. He is sentenced to death, and we see the power that Pharaoh has, but yet the Bible tells us that his spirit was troubled. He was an unsettled leader. The thoughts that would permeate his mind after these dreams that he had, they caused him to be unsettled, that his spirit was troubled. We find that the Bible then tells us that he took action in verse number 8, and he did what he always did. No doubt this was something that he would have had dreams in the past. No doubt these people that are referenced in verse number 8 would have been beckoned at various times during his time of leadership and reign. And this is something that was just kind of his response. It was a natural response to what had occurred. He had these dreams. He didn't understand them. So what does he do when his spirit is troubled? The Bible says in verse number 8 that he sent and called. Notice the Bible says, for all the magicians of Egypt. The Bible continues and says this, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. Again, I believe that this was something that was probably a common practice. It was a situation in which these men, these magicians and these wise men that are mentioned in verse number 8, they would have received at various times similar requests. And we find that Pharaoh brings them in. Can you see in your mind's eye this evening the picture, the event as it unfolds? Pharaoh really kind of a restless night's sleep with these two dreams, and he's troubled, the Bible says. His spirit was troubled, and in the morning, when his spirit is troubled, he's unsettled as a leader. He calls for all of the magicians. He calls for all of the wise men. And what do you think his expectation was? Well, no doubt he was expecting that as he would reveal to these wise men, to these magicians, when he would provide for them the information with regard to his dream, that they would provide to him an interpretation. That was his expectation. That's why he gathered them together. That's why he thought, this is going to cause my spirit to no longer be troubled. This is going to give me some understanding. And so he told them his dream. But the verse ends in verse number 8, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. You think about his expectation. He's a man that was an uncertain situation that led to an unsettled leader. He brings these men in. He tells them the dream, and then there's no answer. Man, can you imagine? I mean, it's a rough day. It's a troubled leader. It's a difficult situation. And we find that the Bible says that he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. But the Bible tells us that there was none that could interpret. And we begin to see what God is doing and how God is moving, and we begin to understand the events. Again, we're familiar with the life of Joseph. Many of us have read the book of Genesis. We've read the chapters in which we're studying. But I hope this evening that even the familiar nature of this particular text of Scripture, that we would pay close attention and that God would help us tonight to understand that Joseph was in a place where God was going to use him for God's honor and for God's glory. The Bible tells us of this uncertain situation, but it's followed in verses 9 through 15, number 2, with an urgent call. With an urgent call. The Bible says this in verse number 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Now, isn't that interesting that the chief butler at this particular time, 2 years had passed, and all of a sudden, all these magicians, all of these wise men are gathered, and Pharaoh shares his dream, and there's none that can interpret. And then the butler comes up to the plate, so to speak, and he says to Pharaoh, I remember my faults this day. He says, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants in verse number 10 and put me in ward and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. Now this was 2 years had passed according to the start of chapter 41 in verse number 1. 2 years had passed, and so now this urgent call that we're going to see that takes place within the midst of these verses, it begins with the butler remembering what had taken place. All of a sudden he remembers and he begins to rehearse. He's sharing with Pharaoh about the events that had led up to both he and the baker being put in ward, being in the captain of the guard's house. And the Bible tells us in verse number 11 that the butler says, he and the baker, we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, He dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. Notice in verse 12, and there was there with us a young man in Hebrew. I want you to just pause for a moment and consider the truth of verse number 12. How did this man, Joseph, get to that place? Through a lot of things that we would say are unfortunate circumstances. Unfortunate events. His brothers were going to kill him. His brothers decided, no, let's not kill him, let's sell him into slavery. Right? We could say, oh man, that's unfortunate. We could look at that and say, as we look at events and just happenings in our lives, woe is me, and this just isn't fair. He's in Potiphar's house, and he's lied about, falsely accused, placed into prison. But the Bible says that this butler, as he's speaking to Pharaoh, he says, there was there with us a young man in Hebrew. Though Pharaoh may not have understood all of the circumstances that led to Joseph being in that prison at the time that the butler and baker were in that prison, though the butler may not have understood every detail with regard to the circumstances that led to that, I can and you can this evening rest assured in knowing that God was at work. See, the Bible tells us, and we know, that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And it doesn't say that all things are good, that all things work together for good. And I would say that we serve a God who is good, and He's good all of the time, and He has a plan, and He has a purpose. And sometimes when the events, when the circumstances of your life and my life are not what we desire, are not what we expect, we can refuse to submit to the Lord. We can respond in an inappropriate way that leads us in a place where we're not able to see what God was planning to do. We find that the Bible says that there was a man there. There was a young man in Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, notice these three words, so it was. So it was. Me, he restored into mine office, and him, he hanged. And so as this butler remembers and rehearses the events that happened 2 years prior, we find that he's sharing this. Now remember, the Pharaoh, when he had a dream, he calls for the magicians. He calls for the wise men. Remember what it was said when those men, the butler and the baker, when they were in the prison in verse number 4 of back in chapter number 40, the Bible says the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them and he served them and they continued a season in ward. Notice in verse number 5, this is the original event that the butler is speaking of now when he stands before Pharaoh, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Notice the Bible says in verse number 8, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream. Notice what they say, and there is no interpreter of it. Who do you think they expected that would interpret their dreams? The magicians and the wise men. This was the common practice. This was how they dealt with things. And so I want you to see the fullness of the picture here and what's taking place. The butler and the baker, they were in prison. They were separated from those wise men, from those magicians that would typically interpret dreams. And so they were sad because there's no interpreter. But Joseph, a man, a young man that's in Hebrew, he says, tell me the dream. And he interprets the dreams. And so now we find that this butler is sharing this information with Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh's in a similar situation. No, he's not in prison, but he's had a dream and he's called for all of the magicians and all of the wise men, and no one can interpret. And so we find that this urgent call is recorded to us in verse number 14. The Bible says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. It's almost as if he had this perspective, I've heard enough. I had an expectation that when I brought these magicians and these wise men in, they would interpret the dream, but they could not. There was none that could interpret them. And then the butler shares, he rehearses what took place, and it's as if the Pharaoh is saying, I need this man. And the Bible says that Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Now, can you imagine verse number 14? I mean, he's just in prison. Again, we don't know all that Joseph was doing during those two full years. We believe, as we would understand and look at the record that God gives us, that he was faithfully doing what he had always done. He was living in the very presence of God. He was serving. He was ministering in whatever capacities he was able to do so. But think about the word coming to Joseph as he's there. Hey, the Pharaoh wants to see you. That's big stuff. That's a big situation. And the Bible says that I've referenced that it's an urgent call, because the Bible says in verse number 14 that they brought him, notice, hastily out of the dungeon. Hastily. But I want you to see that he shaved himself and he changed his raiment. That's kind of interesting, a side subject that we could talk about, really. And so many people want to talk about in our society today that the outward doesn't matter because God only sees the heart. But the reality is, man can only see the outward. Amen? Yes, it's true that God sees the heart, but man can only see the outward. I can't see your heart, but what you show on the outside reflects your heart. And Joseph was going to go stand before Pharaoh, by the way, a heathen, polytheistic man. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment. Amen? Not the subject in which we're dealing with tonight, but he wanted to present himself properly in the presence of that individual. Oh, there's so much that we could say. Notice in verse number 15, the Bible says this, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." As we look at verse 14 and 15, we see this urgent call. We see that Joseph is brought into the presence of Pharaoh. We see very quickly that there's an introduction that's given. And I want you to think about the pressure, if you will, of such a situation. Joseph's in prison. Pharaoh, great power. Egypt, the power of this nation. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he brings Joseph into his presence and he says, I have dreamed a dream and no one can interpret it, but I hear that you can. High stakes, pressure situation. I said this before, but it's worth repeating in this particular context. As we look at this situation, we see God's hand at work. God's timing is not always our timing, but God's timing is always right. See, there are times in which we're kind of, what's going on? Like, let's hurry up. But God's timing is not our timing, but God's timing is always right. I've said it this way, as you look at this portion of Scripture, the 2 years that have passed led to a time in which Pharaoh had a dream and none could interpret. If the butler, immediately upon being released from prison, remember the context of when he was released from prison. According to chapter number 40 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "And it came to pass the third day," notice, "which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants." There was a lot of things going on during that period of time. That feast that was going on, I mean, all of the events and so on and so forth. And we find that if the butler in that moment of being released from prison, if he says to Pharaoh, "Hey, listen, there's a guy in prison that interpreted my dream." Pharaoh's got so many other things going on. It's his birthday. All of these festivities are going on. All of this this fanfare, if you will. And he's the king of Egypt and all of this. Plus, he has magicians and he has wise men. Why does he need this Hebrew? But in God's perfect time, and God's timing is perfect, Pharaoh has a dream and there's none that can interpret. And at that very moment, the chief butler, he says, "I remember," and he rehearses. And Pharaoh issues an urgent call. And now Joseph is in the very presence of Pharaoh, and he's heard what Pharaoh has to say about this dream and receiving an interpretation. An uncertain situation led to an urgent call, which resulted in a unique opportunity. Number 3, if you're taking notes, a unique opportunity. As we look in verses 16 through 32 this evening, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we find the unique opportunity that God gives to Joseph. Again, in verse number 16, the Bible says that Joseph answered Pharaoh. Notice the answer that he gives. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I'm thankful that Joseph, standing in the very presence of this world leader, of this powerful man, that he shares this truth. He proclaims a truth that it's not in me. He says this, that God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. We find that Joseph had great certainty. He was assured of, he was confident. He had this measure of confidence that God could interpret the dream, that he could give him the interpretation. In fact, he says it this way to the butler and the baker in verse 8 of chapter 40, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And so Joseph understood that it was not in him, but he understood that he had a responsibility to proclaim the truth. Listen, at this moment, as I think about what's unfolding in Joseph's life and what's taken place, it could be very easy for Joseph to be like, yep, that's right, I can interpret dreams. What are you going to do for me if I interpret your dream? But Joseph says, it's not in me. It's not in me. See, what I'd like to understand as we look at verse number 16 this evening is that Joseph was a man that even in this unique opportunity that was presented to him, he was not trying to gain for himself. He was in a situation where he's in prison falsely accused. He's not sitting there saying to Pharaoh, well, listen, let me tell you about my situation first, and if you can help me out of my situation, then maybe I'll help you with your dream. I'm being a little facetious this evening, but the reality is that sometimes when we have circumstances and situations in our life, we might not take the opportunity to ensure that God alone gets the glory. Pharaoh says, the butler says, even though the butler heard that Joseph said that dreams, the interpretations belong to God, the butler says that he interpreted to us our dreams in verse number 12. And so we find that Pharaoh has the understanding that you can understand a dream. And Joseph immediately says, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Listen, when we're only concerned with God receiving the glory, it's amazing what opportunities God will give us. When we are singularly, solely, only concerned with God receiving the glory. Joseph didn't know that through in providing an interpretation for the dream, it was going to change his circumstances. He had no assurance that if he interpreted this dream, that it would provide him an escape, that he would have some... No, he had no assurance of that. But you know what he was concerned about? God being glorified. God being glorified. He wasn't really concerned about his circumstances changing. You know what I'm fearful of? So as I look at my own life, and I believe this evening, if we would be honest, so often we are guilty of desiring that we would have circumstances that are favorable. I'm the first one to admit, I like for things to be comfortable. I don't like problems. I really don't. But when we're more concerned for God's glory than our own comfort, then God can do something. Then God can work. So often I feel like we could be guilty of being more concerned about our own comfort, that we miss opportunities for God to be exalted because our singular focus is not for Him to be exalted. Does that make sense tonight? And we find that Joseph, in this moment, when the butler says, he interpreted, and Pharaoh says, I understand that you can interpret, that you understand dreams, and Joseph is standing there before this world leader and says, it's not in me. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It reminds me of what John the Baptist would say so long later, he must increase, I must decrease. Joseph wasn't looking for a change of circumstances. He was looking for God to be glorified. We find that, yes, as we study through the portion of Scripture, that Joseph's circumstances will change. But I believe this evening, if his singular motivation was on a campaign to get out of prison, that this event would never be recorded the way that it is in our Bibles. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And so in these next few verses, 17 through 24, Pharaoh rehearses the dreams for Joseph. Of course, we've read already of this as he shares these dreams in verses 2 through 7 with those magicians. And as God records for us what had happened and then the dreams that night, and then he then shares them with the magicians. We find that Pharaoh now brings Joseph into his presence and he rehearses the dreams. It says in verse 17, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. Behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and fat, lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. Verse 20, when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And so we find that as Pharaoh rehearses these dreams that Joseph is now hearing in verses 17 through 24, this record of these dreams that Pharaoh had, there's a little additional insight that is provided to us there in verse number 21, that even after those ill-favored kine ate up those fat-fleshed kine, that it was not noticeable, you could not tell, and they were just as they were at the beginning. And we find that Pharaoh ends this conversation with Joseph, or his part of it, as rehearsing these dreams, by telling him that I told this to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Notice Joseph's response. In verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Notice what he says, God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Understand that God is always at work. Listen, God's in control of everything. You ever hear somebody talk about Mother Nature? No, God is the creator and he's the sustainer. God sends the rain and God withholds the rain. Amen? God's in control of everything. God is God. And we find that he says, God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. By the way, that was gracious of God to show to Pharaoh what he was about to do. It was gracious. Can I tell you this evening that when we look at this portion of Scripture and we see what God is going to do, really in the next 14 years in their history and what's going on, God's revealing to Pharaoh in this dream what's going to take place over these next 14 years, I want you to understand that God has revealed to us His plans for the future as well. Listen, God is at work today. God is on His throne today. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He is in control. There's nothing that takes God by surprise. There's nothing that God is not aware of. We understand that God has a plan. And by the way, not only does God have a plan, but God's plan will come to pass. We're not going to keep God's plan from coming to pass. God's plan is going to come forth. It's going to come to pass. And so he tells him, God hath showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Notice in verse 26, the seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, notice verse 29, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. Now that's a positive. That's welcomed news. There's going to be 7 years. Notice it doesn't just say of plenty, but of great plenty. There's going to be blessing. I mean, there's going to be an abundance. And it says throughout all the land of Egypt, it says this, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. Notice what it says in verse 30, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. Now that's a problem. But God is gracious in revealing what's going to happen in these next 14 years. In verse 31, the Bible says, the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. The Bible said of the years of plenty that it shall be, according to verse 29, great plenty, 7 years of great plenty. But we find that that famine, those 7 years of famine, at the end of verse 31 is described as being very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing, notice what it says, is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. The thing is established by God. This is what God is going to do. We find that God is going to bring it to pass. Notice the Bible says shortly. And so we think about these 7 years of plenty. What happens oftentimes? What's the human tendency in times of plenty? Live large. Right? Am I not right? There's years of plenty, and I understand that there's some people, and I'm not talking about across the board 100%, but I'm saying generally speaking, when there's times of plenty, there's times of extravagance. There's times of living large, enjoying life. No thought of that plenty might not continue. Right? I mean, that's the typical human behavior. And God in His grace and His mercy is showing to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, Joseph will be the one to interpret the dreams, but he's showing to them what he is going to bring to pass, what he is about to do. And we find that that dream is, as Joseph says, it's one dream. Yes, there were two, but it's one. And God doubled it to you because he's established these things and this thing, and he wants you to know he's going to bring it to pass. And so Joseph interprets the dreams. Next week, actually in 2 weeks, we'll look at the rest of chapter 41. It's a lengthy passage of Scripture, but we'll go through the end of the chapter next week and look at the position in which Joseph is promoted to. And of course, many of us are familiar with this, but I want us to focus as we finish the message this evening at really considering this unique opportunity. And where Joseph was at the beginning of chapter 41 to where he stands in verses 17 through 32, standing before Pharaoh, providing him with an interpretation for this dream, when all of the magicians and all of these wise men are kind of on the sidelines, so to speak, and they have nothing to offer, and yet Joseph is there with this unique opportunity. I believe this evening, as I mentioned, though Joseph was forgotten by the butler, God knew exactly where he was, and God's plan was coming to pass just as he had planned it. We find this evening that the Lord had a unique opportunity for Joseph, and I believe tonight that God has unique opportunities for you and I as well. God has opportunities for us, unique opportunities. And sometimes those unique opportunities are going to come through maybe, as we looked at this portion of Scripture, maybe some uncertain situations that we face in life, maybe some uncertainties in our world today that are taking place, and we find that God has unique opportunities for us. Every opportunity isn't going to look the same. It's not going to come packaged the same way. But I believe this evening that God wants to use each and every one of us for His honor and for His glory. Brother Don, we and I were talking before the service this evening. He's going to be 91 in just a few weeks. And he said this. He said, I don't think about it often. I hope it's okay that I share this. He said, I don't think about it often, but sometimes I wonder, man, 91's a long time and I'm still alive. And so many others die prior to that age. And I said, Brother Don, God has a plan for you. God's not done with you. You know what I believe tonight? When God's done with us, He's going to take us home. Amen? And I know that God's not done with us because we're still here. And see, He still has a purpose and He still has a plan and He's still working. And I think about these unique opportunities that God would give us. But if we're going to have these unique opportunities, if we're going to have the kind of opportunity, and I understand we're not going to stand before a Pharaoh and maybe interpret a dream, but we find this evening that these opportunities that we might have, we must not grow weary in the time of difficulty. We must not grow weary. We must not give up. We must not throw in the towel. We must remain faithful. We must remain steadfast. We must recognize that God's timing is perfect, and at God's perfect time, that He will open the door that only He can open. You ever try to open a door that God hasn't opened? It's frustrating. You try to beat down a door, and you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes you can be successful, and then you regret it real quick after you get into the room, and you find out, well, man, I made a mess of this. So much better when you let God open the door. When you let God work as only He can work. And we find that those opportunities are going to come. Listen, I understand that it might not be like Joseph here in Genesis 41 that someone has a dream, but I understand there's a lot of people today in our world that don't know what's going on with all the things that are taking place in our world today. They have no clue whatsoever. There are a lot of people that are scared of death. I mentioned that this morning from Hebrews chapter number 2. They have no clue as to what's going to happen. They have no idea when they take their final breath. Listen, we believe in the rapture. The trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. We're going to be raptured out of here. It's an imminent thing. It's going to begin the 7-year tribulation period of time. That's going to be great tribulation here upon this earth. And we find that, listen, we have opportunity right now to tell people, hey, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. There are people that look at world events. They have no idea what's going on. But God's given us some insight. Why? Because He's given us this book. There's some answers that we have to the questions that people have in this world because we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And we can give an answer to those that would ask us of the hope that lies within us. And we can have those opportunities in this evening as we consider this situation here with Joseph. And we understand all that has taken place. And we see this unique opportunity. We say, man, that's wonderful that he has this unique opportunity. Don't forget how it came to pass. Don't forget all of the quote-unquote unfortunate things that happened from our human perspective that led to this unique opportunity. And when you're dealing with the circumstances in your life, you must rest assured that God is in control and that God has a plan. And we must not overlook the truth that we spent time trying to really hammer in this evening. We must not lose sight of that truth in verse number 16. And we must live our lives with the perspective that God receives the glory. Joseph said, "It is not in me. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." He was troubled, but Joseph provides an interpretation. Joseph was there in that place. He would say to his brothers later, far later, "Am I not in the place of God?" He understood that God was at work in his life. This evening, I don't know what opportunity God has for you, but I believe he does have an opportunity for you. And I believe that God wants to use you for his honor and for his glory. He wants to use me for his honor and for his glory. And if we just get to the place where it was not really about us, but it was all about Him, and our singular, most focused concern would be that He alone would be glorified, God will give us opportunities. Because our concern is not for us, but for His name to be exalted and magnified. Joseph said, "It is not in me." Oh, that we would seize the opportunities that God would give us. I believe that he has opportunities. We need to pray that God would keep us faithful, help us not to grow weary, and help us to be ready to seize those opportunities when they come, that we would be used to bring honor and glory to his name and to his name alone. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truth of this portion of Scripture in the book of Genesis and the events, the life of Joseph. And God, I pray that through studying these verses tonight, you would help us not only to understand a historical context, a testimony of Joseph's life, but God, would you help us to rest in knowing that you have a plan for us as well, that you know where we are. Though Joseph was forgotten by the butler, you knew exactly where he was. You had him in exactly the place you wanted him. God, you gave him such a unique opportunity to stand before the leader of the nation of Egypt, in order to exalt your name. God, I thank you for Joseph and for his testimony. And I pray that we would follow that pattern, that we would not desire to receive glory of ourselves, let it all be about Christ. I pray that you'd give us unique opportunities. Help us to seize them. Lord, help us to speak of thee. We live in a world that's confused, a world that's hurting, a world that's searching. God, you've given us your word. God, I pray that you'd help us to have those opportunities, to be ready to give an answer, the hope that lieth within us. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be doers of the word tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stay?